Lighthouse Pictures presents Love and Jane. A feather rests on sepia-toned letters filled with faded handwritten script. Allison Sweeney, Benjamin Ayers. Kendra Anderson, Adila Dosani. A woman wearing a pearl bracelet writes a letter with a fountain pen. A book lies open on a page with a black and white illustration of two people, both in Regency-style dress. A man sitting at a desk facing a woman sitting in a chair. Music by Brent Belk. A nameplate on a desk reads, Colberry Award for Emerging Writers, Lily Thorpe, 2018. Leather-bound editions of Jane Austen books cover the desk. Feathers are scattered on top of the books. Later, the same Jane Austen book collection lines a shelf. Titles include, A Memoir, The Letters, Emma and Mansfield Park. A Woman Takes Pride and Prejudice Off the Shelf. Written and directed by David Weaver. In a living room, the woman, Lily, is curled up reading in a love seat. She looks up at a clock. It is 6:25 p.m.
Oh, fiddlesticks!
Wearing a full-length floral dress and a dark pink cardigan, Lily gets up from the love seat and puts a pair of heels on, then rushes out of the living room. At night, lights glow from city buildings along Boston's waterfront. Outside a pub, Lily searches in her purse. She furrows her brow and then checks her watch before hurrying away from the pub. A chalkboard sign outside the pub features a sketch of Jane Austen and reads, Jane Society, meeting tonight, all are welcome. Lily runs around a corner and rushes into Scribbler's bookstore. Inside, Lily searches a shelf. As she reaches for a book, a tall man with short curly brown hair saunters over to the shelf and then reaches for the same book. They pull the book off the shelf together.
Oh. I was going to buy this.
Sorry, this one's already been purchased.
How could it have been purchased? I just found it on the shelf.
It was bought online exactly 1 minute ago.
Wait a second. You're saying that someone who bought it on the internet trumps a real-life human who wants to buy it in the bookstore?
I'm afraid so. But I can order you another one. It'll be here in 2 days.
I need it now!
You're so desperate for Jane Austen, you can't wait 2 days?
Yes, I left my copy at home.
Wait, you already have a copy? Oh, okay. Have you read Northanger Abbey? We have that one. It's Jane Austen as well.
Just trade out one Jane Austen novel for another?
Bookstore patrons turn and stare at Lily.
They are all unique.
Right. Well, I can't sell you this one because it's already been bought, but I can order you one and it will be here in 2 days.
This is preposterous. I am outraged. I cannot believe this. The audacity. I hate the internet.
Lily storms out of the store.
Okay.
The brown-haired man glances around the bookstore. Lily rushes into the pub hosting the Jane Society meeting.
No rush, Lily. They've all got their drinks.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Whitcomb.
Lily walks around a corner in the pub.
Oh, hey. I was afraid you weren't going to make it.
Oh, I encountered the most disagreeable man on my way here.
Wait, isn't that...
What?
Isn't that what Elizabeth calls Mr. Darcy when she first meets him?
Trust me, Alicia. This fellow was no Mr. Darcy.
Tell him, dear, have you booked your trip to England yet?
No, not yet, but soon.
I heard that there's a National Jane Austen Society conference. I mean, maybe we should all plan a trip there.
Could be fun. I'll do some research. But in the meantime, I think we should get tonight's meeting underway. Welcome, everyone, to our third Jane Society meeting of the year. And since this is the first time some of you are joining us, I thought we could start with having you share something that you love about Jane before we get to tonight's topic.
Lily looks around the group who are seated in a circle.
No one? No one at all?
A bearded man raises his hand.
Alejandro, welcome. You don't have to raise your hand.
Oh.
What do you love about Jane?
I love the characters.
Lily nods, then raises her eyebrows and shrugs.
Is there one character in particular that you especially adore?
An older adult woman leans forward.
Emma? From the novel, Emma.
Of course. So, Why do you enjoy Emma so much?
Oh, it's hard to explain.
Couldn't you just try a little?
Alejandro glances around nervously.
I just like the way she wants to help the people around her find love. Like, even if it kind of goes wrong sometimes, that goes right to my heart.
Oh.
Well, I, for one, could read that novel a dozen times. And I have!
Well, I know that I'm new here and haven't read as widely as some of you. But when I finished Pride a couple days ago, I immediately thought about my sisters and how much I love them.
How many sisters do you have?
Four.
Oh.
Just like Elizabeth.
Wow.
I mean, who would have thought Regency England would be so similar to a Punjabi household?
Well, Jane definitely has a lot to say about families, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Barry?
I work trucking, and I just enjoy listening to the audiobooks when I'm on a long haul. There's nothing like losing yourself in the tribulations of the Dashwood sisters to make the miles pass by.
Do you have a favorite one?
Do you have a favorite sister?
No. I mean, they all drive me crazy.
Lily, since you're president, I think you should tell us what you especially love about Jane.
If I had to say one thing that I love the most about Jane, it's the romance. Seeing the passion grow between the characters, seeing them come together, feeling the inevitability of that. It just seems very far away from today.
It's a lot more romantic than hoping the perfect guy is gonna swipe right.
Yeah, well, when it comes to the lack of romance, that's nothing. Believe me.
Yeah.
Every Jane book ends in the perfect marriage of two minds. And I think that's what everyone wants.
Mm-hmm.
Alejandro nods. Alicia looks at Lily. Lily turns to Barry, and Barry smiles.
Okay, let's get to tonight's topic. Surprise proposals and secret engagements.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Muriel, you start. All right, everyone. Our topic for the next meeting. Wickham, Willoughby, and William Elliot. Austin's dastardly rakes. Don't forget, do your reading. Thank you.
Thanks again for your suggestion of which audiobook of Pride to listen to. There were so many to choose from.
My pleasure. Are we going to see you at the next meeting?
For sure. I arrange all my long hauls around our club meetings now.
Wonderful.
I never would have thought Jane would be for him.
Oh, Alicia, you'll learn Jane is for everyone.
Where's the lie?
Exactly.
Lily? Could I have a word?
Of course. Here, I'll take this. Okay. Mr. Wickham, thank you so much for hosting us. Can I please pay you something?
No. Having you Jane lovers around elevates the place, so there's no need. Plus, you all don't mind a glass of wine.
You're very sweet.
Well, I hope you still think that after I give you some bad news. I've decided to sell off this whole place.
What?
I'm afraid it's time for me to retire.
Congratulations, Mr. Wickham. Why would I think that's bad news?
Well, it's just that there's very little chance of this place remaining as is with all the tech money flowing into the neighborhood. I'm almost positive you'll have to find somewhere new for your meetings, dear.
Don't you worry about that. How long before you close your doors?
It's all happening terribly fast. We'll be shuttered by the end of the month, I'm afraid. Thought I might take up one of those Jane novels you lot all love so much. Give it a try.
We'll make a Janeite of you yet. Good night, Mr. Wickham.
Good night, dear.
So what are you going to do?
I don't know. When I first started looking for locations for our meetings, everywhere was so expensive. Mr. Wickham never charged us a dime.
Okay, well, couldn't we all chip in a little? I'm sure we could come up with enough.
It's not just about the money. It's about the location. An old English pub was so perfect.
And you can't find another pub in all of Boston.
Of course, I'm sure we can, but they're filled with Celtics fans watching the game, and that is not exactly the atmosphere for what we're up to. Oh, Martin.
Boyfriend checking.
But you know what? He might have an idea for us. He's got plenty of suggestions for how I should live my life.
Ah, that type.
I've always wanted to have a relationship where we didn't just finish each other's sentences, we could begin them. There could have been no two hearts so open, no taste so similar, no feelings so in unison.
Wait, is that Jane?
Of course. She has the perfect quote for every occasion.
Lily walks through a dimly lit restaurant filled with round booths. She approaches a man with auburn hair who is seated in a booth and is looking at his phone.
Hey.
Hey. Sorry, I'm late. Oh, you look wonderful.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Tom Collins, please.
I don't think anyone works here by that name.
Oh, that's just a really old-fashioned drink. She'll make do with a Negroni, thanks. Oh, and I'll have one more.
Right on the way.
Okay. You're really not of the century, are you?
Well, who wants to be? TikTok is something a clock does. Everything that's wrong with the world started with that first website.
Yes, honey, you have made that point before.
Still true. Got some bad news at group tonight. Mr. Wickham is retiring, and he's going to sell his pub.
Oh, it's interesting.
It's not interesting. It's a predicament. We're going to have to find a new place for our meetings. I mean, it could mean the end of the group, and we just got some new members.
Well, that is bad news. But I have some really great news. I got a promotion.
Oh, really? That's great.
Yeah, I am the new counsel for securities litigation, active immediately.
Congratulations.
But the job's based in Chicago.
So you're moving.
But now that your group has ended, you're free to come with, right?
Wait. I didn't say the group was ending. Who said that?
You did. Just now.
No, I just said that we might have to end, not that it would end, and I can't just move. I have a job.
You hate your job.
Well, I don't hate it. I dislike it.
Look, Lily, with my new job, you won't have to work. I mean, you could go back to writing. We could even take that trip to England that you've been talking about for so long.
Lily frowns. Martin holds a ring box.
Think about it.
Martin opens the box and Lily's eyes widen. He shows Lily a cushion-cut halo diamond ring.
Let's get married.
Martin, remember how we talked about how I don't want to be rescued from my own life?
But Lily, this is everything you ever wanted.
You're so Mr. Collins right now.
I don't know what that means.
I know. It doesn't matter. It's that I do have goals. Okay, but I want to get there on my own.
Martin lowers his gaze and is open-mouthed.
Not by marrying me.
Lily furrows her brow.
What are you going to do instead, then? It's not like you've been writing anymore.
I'm figuring it out.
I mean, what would Jane Austen say? Would she not have some kind of quote about it's time to make a change?
Lily nods.
Most of Jane's writing is about how you shouldn't be forced to do something that you don't want. I'm sorry, Martin.
Later, lights glow from the windows of Lily's house.
Maybe Martin is right.
Definitely not a real writer.
Lily picks up a stack of folders.
Certainly no Jane Austen.
She dumps the folders in a waste paper bin, then she sips a glass of water and walks to her love seat.
Oh, Jane, if only I could talk to you. Just get some of your wisdom. If only for a few minutes.
Lily lies sideways in her love seat with her pink cardigan draped over her shoulder. She falls asleep with her hand resting on the pages of her open book. A dreamy haze washes over her. A woman resembling Jane Austen, with brown ringlets framing her face, leans over Lily as she sleeps. Lily wakes up.
Ah! Who are you?
Oh, good heavens!
What are you doing here?
I think you know.
How did you get in here? What do you want?
It is what you want, Lily.
How do you know my name?
Well, it's on your embossed stationery, for one thing. You broke into my house and you're reading my stationery without my permission? It seemed as if you required some assistance.
I don't want help. I didn't ask for help.
Didn't you?
Why are you dressed like that? What is this, some sort of cosplay thing?
This? My sister made this for me. Quite stylish, I thought.
Okay. This is enough. You have to leave. You better leave right now. Or I'm gonna call somebody. I'm gonna call the police.
or I'll call my boyfriend.
No, I'm definitely not calling him.
Perhaps this is not the right moment.
The woman disappears in a ray of sunshine.
You better get out of here right now, because I'm good.
Lily looks around her empty living room.
Hey. Hey! What?
Lily spins around and glances at her phone. She looks at her mahogany writing bureau where her stack of folders are neatly laid out. A book cover illustration features Jane Austen with brown hair and ringlets framing her face.
That's not possible.
Lily glances from side to side. On another day, the sun shines on a city street. Lily, wearing a light blue sweater, a white lace skirt and heels, walks briskly into an office building. A sign reads, Ad Institute. Lily peeks around the corner as she walks down a flight of stairs, and then down a hallway past two men. She approaches a set of glass doors.
Oh, hey, I have a question for you. Are you all right?
Yeah, I was just talking to my parents on the phone. If I'm not in tears by the end of the conversation, it hasn't lasted very long.
Want to talk about it?
No, it's not important. So, what did you want to ask me?
I did want to ask if you think that I have been exhibiting any delusional thinking lately. Like, anything that would make you say, hey, girl, don't you think you should undergo some cognitive tests? Anything like that?
No, I've never thought that.
Okay, well, that's good.
Lil, what are you trying to ask me?
Lily purses her lips.
Martin proposed last night.
Oh my gosh, Lily, that's... Too bad.
I refused his proposal.
Okay, well, that must have been hard.
And then I went home and had a drink.
Understandable.
And I fell asleep, and... Well...
You saw something crazy.
Yes.
Just something that made you doubt your sanity.
Precisely.
Was it Matt Damon telling you to sell your car, take the proceeds, move to Marrakesh, and open an artisanal carpet shop in the market?
Lily wrinkles her brow.
No.
Huh. That's what happened with my last breakup. But don't worry, you're not nuts.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. I mean, you're under a lot of stress and odd things happen. Plus, it seemed like that proposal came out of nowhere.
No, Martin got a job promotion and he's moving to Chicago and he wanted me to come with him and then he offered to take me to England.
Sounds awful. You have been planning that trip for ages.
I know, but I don't want to go if it's some sort of bribe.
Yeah, I get that.
The thing is, I don't love him like that, Lish, and I don't think that I ever will. Oh, hey.
Hey. Sorry to interrupt. Apparently we're all wanted in the boardroom. Pronto. Can you believe it? Trevor Fitzsimmons is in the house.
Who is he?
Are you joking? He started the Faves website.
What is that?
It's where you share all your favorite stuff with other favorists.
Favorists?
Mm-hmm. It's what they call themselves. And what they really like gets favoritism.
Okay, so what kind of things?
Anything. People make lists of their favorite music, places to travel, whatever they like. Then they write about it and share photos. It's brilliant. Anyway, he's here today about some kind of smaller acquisition he's made, but hey, foot in the door, right?
Oh, yeah. I've never seen someone so excited about an account we don't have.
He has a thing for you, you know.
What?
Don't you see the way he looks at you?
Oh, you're imagining that.
No, I'm just saying, if you and Martin are done.
Oh, okay.
Alicia smiles playfully.
Here we go. Lily and Alicia are a top copywriting and design team. They will handle the account. This is Trevor Fitzsimmons. He just bought Scribblers, that great old bookstore down on West Street.
Hi.
Aren't you the...
Lily raises her eyebrows.
Yes.
Hi, Alicia.
It's great to meet you. I'm sorry, is everything okay?
Yeah. It's nice to meet you.
Trevor squints and smiles at Lily. Lily smiles awkwardly at Trevor.
I mean, I found the site with the intent of bringing people together in the commonality of purpose. A kind of metaverse formed out of the most ineffable human quality. Passion.
It's really phenomenal what you've accomplished with the site.
We're just huge fans of your genius.
Is about the best bookstore in the city. He's gonna ruin it. Maybe it won't be as bad as you think. Are you kidding? He was awful when I met him before the Jane Society meeting. I remember. And what's he doing playing and being a clerk? That's very peculiar.
Does our creative team have some thoughts they want to share?
Yes.
No.
Yes. We were just discussing discussing our place in the metaverse.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Please continue, Trevor.
Yes, so I was saying that I did something I thought I would never do. I bought a bookstore. I guess just to give people a place to come together over their love of literature and worlds that you just become immersed in. Anyway, if you open the documents in front of you, you will find some ideas that have been produced by our strategic outreach team.
Trevor looks at Lily. Lily stares at Trevor with a puzzled expression.
What we need to do is drive traffic through the website so that we can harvest their metadata for further optimization.
So extend the Faves brand right into people's houses through the books they buy. It's brilliant.
Thanks.
There is our mission. Let's get our best people on it. Give us a week.
Great.
Trevor watches Lily. Lily frowns as she gets up from the boardroom table.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Pleasure. We'll get to work.
Now we know why he wouldn't let you buy that book. The whole point is to draw people to his website.
I feel like we're in the Trojan horse, being smuggled in to end bookstores altogether. Lily, can I speak to you alone for a moment?
Of course.
You have been doing a great job as a copywriter. This is your chance to move up in the agency. This is a chance for the agency to not be in the basement.
It is? Why?
Don't you run some kind of a book club?
Oh, yeah.
You should always look for projects that speak to you. You love books. Translate that into great concepts for the account.
I'll try.
Help us win, and then we can truly compete with the larger agencies. You'll benefit. I promise.
That would be great.
Terrific. Concepts on my desk no later than Friday, 9 a.m. Okay, you got it.
Lily rolls her eyes. At night at her house, Lily taps a fountain pen on a blank piece of paper before putting the pen down. Sitting in her love seat, Lily picks up her book from the previous night. She darts her eyes around the room as she opens the book. She curls up on the love seat and then uses the book as a pillow. She squeezes her eyes shut, then reopens them and looks around.
It's working. God's will. I don't think apparitions ring doorbells. Martin!
I didn't want to leave things the way they were last night. Could I come in? I brought all the ingredients for Tom Collins.
Jane is sitting in Lily's love seat.
No.
Do you have someone here?
No.
Yes.
A roommate.
Oh, you got a roommate in the last 24 hours?
Well, I didn't have a chance to tell you about it last night.
Right. Okay. Well, I'll let you get back to work then.
Great. Actually, wait. I think it would be great.
Oh, okay.
I would love for you to meet her. You know.
Sure.
Lily's love seat is empty except for her open book.
Where is she?
I don't know. Well, maybe she just had to go out.
Okay. I can see you're rereading Jane again.
No. Actually, that's her. That's my roommate.
Recruited another to the cause.
Well, actually, she's a pretty big Jane Austen fan herself.
Oh, surely you're the biggest.
No, I'm pretty sure she loves Jane more than I do.
Well, look, since your roommate's not here, I would love to talk.
Martin, I'm not going to change my mind.
What if you think about it like an opportunity?
I'm sorry.
Or maybe I can go.
Yeah,
okay?
I think that's for the best.
Look, I really think we should talk about...
You know what? Why don't you write me a letter?
No one writes letters anymore.
Exactly. Don't we think that's part of the problem?
Okay, yeah. I'll try that then.
Also, thank you so much for this. That is very thoughtful.
Lily holds Martin's bag of Tom Collins ingredients.
Ready.
Lily walks upstairs. In a bedroom, Jane is sitting on the bed, wearing a Regency-era Empire waist dress.
I dare say, we have a considerable amount of work to do. That gentleman is one of your suitors?
Martin? No. Well, yes, I guess he is.
Are you who I think you are? Who do you think I am? Jane Austen? How is that possible? You've been dead 200 years. 206.
206 years.
No, no, just 206. It's important to get such things correct. What is his annual emolument?
Who?
This Martin gentleman.
Well, I guess he does okay. I mean, he's a corporate lawyer.
And then cattle.
What? Excuse me?
Does he have any head of cattle? It is important for a gentleman to own cattle. That way they will never be lacking in resources. At the very least, there will always be milk for the children.
No, I don't think he has any cattle.
Pity.
I think I'm going insane.
It cannot be ruled out.
Jane sits down in an armchair.
What do you want?
It is not what I want, dear thing. It is what you want. You called me, so I came.
Like Mary Poppins?
Who?
Mary Poppins. You know, there was a book about her. Well, I guess that was later. And then they made a movie.
A what?
She's famous for always showing up, right, when people need her the most.
Oh. Well, if she cannot be seen by others, if she cannot affect others, if she can only appear when at the time and place of the appropriate invocation, then yes, I suppose I am very much like this Mary Popping lady.
And she only wanted every second Tuesday off.
A most reasonable request. Now, I'm afraid I must be bracingly truthful. It is evident from my observation that you are completely lacking in the skills required to make your way in the world.
Well, that seems very harsh.
Would you say you have discovered your own happiness?
Well, sometimes I have moments, but that's true of everyone. I mean,
no, you have not.
Well, how do you...
However, I can rectify this.
You can?
I can. Please join me.
Lily gets up from her love seat and walks toward the dining table. Jane places two teacups next to a teapot on the table, then she smiles to herself.
Let us begin with a cup of tea.
Oh, I don't drink tea or any caffeine after 4 o'clock. I would love some tea.
Anyone who has any ambition to impress in good society must know how to pour a proper tea service.
Well, I mean, I do know how to pour tea.
No, no!
Oh, good heavens.
Please, you must always pour from the right. Otherwise, you will be reaching across your guest, which is simply intolerable. Not to mention a complete disaster, should any spilt tea mar your gentleman's waistcoat.
Well, waistcoats aren't really a thing anymore anyway.
Truly?
Afraid not.
Pity.
Indeed.
Jane and Lily raise their teacups in a cheers gesture. Jane glares at Lily. Lily's smile drops.
Oh dear. Now we shall review a talent that any lady should possess. Dancing.
Oh, cool. Okay, great. Kimmy, play some dance music.
Playing dance music.
Stop! No, Kimmy, stop playing music. Ugh.
What was that horrible sound?
I'm so sorry. I have no idea what it was.
Who is this Kimmy?
Oh, it's a computer.
What is a computer?
It doesn't matter. The point is, you could just ask it to play whatever music you want.
Kimmy, dearest, wherever you are, please play us something exquisite that we may dance to it.
Playing exquisite dance music.
Much better. Now, I shall take on the role of the gentleman suitor.
Seriously?
This is how my sister taught me.
Okay.
Simply make the same movements I do.
Right.
Lily copies Jane's dance movements. In a Regency style, they clasp their hands behind their backs and slowly step forward while twisting their hips side to side. While back to back, they dance around each other in a circle, using the same twisting motion.
This is so great!
Please, please, your countenance must remain calm and composed at all times.
Really? How do you do that?
Practice. Manners are what keep a society together.
Jane points her chin up, and Lily copies her. They dance with their hands raised and their forearms together, and turn, then switch arms and dance in the opposite direction. Jane nods.
Thank you, my dear. Perhaps we shall make a lady of you after all.
Jane smiles warmly at Lily. On a new day, Lily runs into her living room and hops as she puts on her shoe. Keys sit on top of her file folders. Lily grabs the keys. A folder label reads, Manuscript Draft 1. Lily has a confused look on her face. The waste paper bin by her bureau is empty. Lily stares at her bureau, then she grabs her purse. She glances around the room with a troubled look before leaving the house.
Any luck last night?
How do you mean?
The concept for the campaign. I mean, did you come up with anything?
No, I didn't have a chance to work on it because I was
hope this conversation is about the new account.
Of course it is. Yes, absolutely.
Many ideas. Gosh,
totally.
Spinning.
Yeah.
Listen, I really need to talk to you.
Of course, yeah.
Not here.
Oh, okay.
Lily pulls Alicia down the hall.
Okay, so you've seen her twice?
Yes. And that blows your whole everybody hallucinates once in a blue moon theory out of the water.
I mean, she didn't tell you to do anything sketchy, right? Like wear a pinafore to work or invest a lot of money in cryptocurrency?
No, definitely not. No, she's only giving me advice on how to deal with men. Actually, more than that, she's giving me advice on life.
Okay, well, in that case, I say, put her to work.
What does that mean? Put her to work how?
Well, aren't we looking for new ideas and ways on how to get people back into the bookstore? Who better than Jane Austen to answer that question?
Yeah, maybe.
Alicia looks thoughtful.
How do we get out without seeming like we're completely insane?
Alicia and Lily glance around before walking out of a broom closet.
Okay, go.
Lily smiles awkwardly as she follows Alicia along the hallway of the Ad Institute. Three colleagues stare at them.
Oh, Mr. Wickham. Hi.
Lily, thanks for coming in so quickly.
Yes, of course. What's so important?
I believe I've found a solution to our problem.
Our problem?
Where to host your meetings, obviously. I found the perfect place, if I do say so myself.
You did? That's such a relief. Thank you, Mr. Wickham.
Even better, it's run by somebody who really cares about... Oh, here he is.
Albert.
Lily stares at Trevor.
Mr. Fitzsimmons, you do turn up at the most unexpected places.
Please, just call me Trevor.
I'm Lily Thorpe.
Right.
Is that a tech industry thing, going first names only? Elon, Mark, Trevor?
Never thought of that, but I like it.
I prefer a bit of formality.
Right. Yes, Albert was telling me you hosted Jane Austen Book Club. It's interesting that Ellen wouldn't have mentioned that when I came by the agency.
I don't really talk about Jane much at work.
It's just kind of a relevant detail to leave out. I mean, you're exactly the type of person I'm trying to reach with this app.
Oh, I don't really do apps.
Perfect.
That's exactly why I want you for this job.
I didn't realize you two knew each other. I thought you could hold your meetings at Trevor's bookshop.
It's nearby, and he says he'd be happy to do it for nothing.
Oh, I couldn't possibly. I wouldn't want to intrude in your operation.
No. It dovetails with my initiative to get more people into bookstores. I mean, a reading club for Jane Austen, it's like the perfect fit.
Right. Well, I'll just have to check with the others and make sure it's okay with them.
Okay, when's your next meeting?
Sunday. But Mr. Wickham is still open, so we could still come here.
No time like the present. Why don't we just do it on Sunday?
Because...
I'll make sure there's lots of tea on hand. And crumpets.
I'm not interested in your crumpets.
Mr. Whitcomb looks at Lily, then at Trevor.
I mean, I don't even know what crumpets are. I mean, I do. Of course I do. They're delicious. But I'm just going to go, and I'll check with them. And I'll let you know. Thank you, Mr. Wickham. You're so sweet. And thank you.
Oh, watch.
Mr. Fitzsimmons.
Trevor.
Lily forces a smile as she moves a chair, then she walks awkwardly around a table and out of the pub.
That didn't go quite the way I expected it would.
No?
Trevor smiles as he looks toward the door.
Are you sure Brennan invited us both over?
Of course he did. And you know what?
What?
This is just a professional meeting, okay? Don't try to make something out of this.
Yes, boss.
Okay, here are a few snacks.
Great. Thanks. Yum.
Anyway, I was saying I wondered whether we should just maybe discard the idea of books altogether.
Wait, you want to take books out of the bookstore account?
Just temporarily. The goal is to use the bookstore as a loss leader to lure people to the app. What do you think?
I think we should concentrate on getting people to buy books.
Yeah, absolutely. That's my perspective, too.
Oh,
You just said the complete opposite.
I was just floating a trial balloon.
Okay, I think we need to deal with the facts. We don't have a single pitch idea, and the presentation is coming up best.
Lily, this account should be perfect for you.
Everyone keeps saying that.
Yeah, well, not everybody has won the Cold Dairy Award.
Oh, what's that? Nothing.
It's the award for most promising new writer. Lily won it 6 or 7 years ago.
I had some short stories published, that's all.
But you haven't written anything since then, have you?
No. I guess I just got caught up in revision mode. And then I started really focusing on my career, which is what I think we should all be doing right now.
Yeah. We should really get back to work.
Don't tell me you didn't see him looking at you from the corner of his eye the whole night.
Maybe he just has an astigmatism.
You should let him know that you're interested.
How? By dropping my kerchief right in front of him?
No, tell him you want to catch a movie or a concert you might want to see or a restaurant you might want to try.
Our car is here. I think based on the amount of action figures he had on display in his apartment, he's probably not into fine dining.
Alicia sits in the car and glances out the window.
He's a really nice guy, Lil, and smart. And you should appreciate that he's interested in you. You know, I haven't been on a date in a year. You could easily be in a situation where you don't have a choice. You know?
Is there something you're not telling me?
Nope.
Lily wrinkles her brow. Later, she walks to her front door and goes inside. On her dining table, she looks at posters reading A Book a Day. Jane slowly walks up behind Lily and looks over her shoulder.
What are these exactly?
They're mock-ups for work, for this bookstore campaign.
You're still working? So late at night. There's a reason they call it beauty sleep, dear.
Are you seriously suggesting I'm not attractive because I don't get enough sleep?
I'm suggesting nothing good comes of exhaustion.
Well, welcome to a modern working girl's life. Half the work I do is after hours.
Did you create this?
Oh, this? No, it's computer generated. The agency has an algorithm that chooses high-yield keywords and optimized metas for the file, and then the ad copy is generated from there. It doesn't even really have to make any sense.
Was that what you just said? Was that in the English language?
Sort of.
Would it not be better to simply assert the pleasures of visiting a bookstore? And trusting that would win the day?
Yes! Maybe that's why you're here. You can help me come up with a good idea.
No one can work that way. Ideas must come of their own accord. Even when Prinny suggested plots for my next composition, I could not comply. One must find one's own inspiration.
Prinny, the Prince Regent.
Yes. Believe me, it was very awkward to refuse him.
I can imagine.
And then to make matters worse, he suggested I dedicate a book to him.
Oh, that's right. Emma.
That dedication was the most difficult writing of my life. Are you quite sure you have no suitable notions at all?
Well, okay. So I did come up with the idea for creating a campaign around people bringing books they really love back into the bookstore and exchanging them for something else.
Is that not called a library?
Fine. What about if we did a campaign encouraging people to start book clubs, like the Jane Society, but about all different types of books, and they would be called bookworms?
Jane frowns.
But is that term not a pejorative? Well, people want to be known as worms for reading books.
All right, I'm still working on it.
I think you should strive for something unique. What, pray tell, is this?
Nothing. I threw this away.
Lily clutches her manuscript.
It's a manuscript for a novel I was working on, but I never finished it. What?
I think we have discovered what you should be doing with your evenings. You must get this to a publisher.
In my evenings, I have to work. I have to do stuff for the agency or I'll get fired.
Is the sacrifice worth betraying your own work?
Oh, that's easy for you to say. You're you.
If you know my story, you knew none of it was easy.
What if I do? What if I sacrifice everything and I still never get published?
What if you never make the effort and have no idea whether success is within your grasp?
What if you keep your opinions to yourself?
Perhaps I shall.
Jane vanishes. Lily turns around.
I don't want to fight. Oh, jabbers. She did it again.
On another day, at Scribbler's bookstore.
No, it's a wonderful collection of poems.
Lily walks across the dimly lit store.
Hello.
Hi.
I didn't know how else to reach you to let you know that our group held a vote in favor of having our meetings in your store.
Great. Wow. You don't say. A vote?
9-1. So, we are okay? The Jane Society will be meeting here Sunday night at 7?
Yeah, that's great.
Wonderful. And we just need a little bit of space, if you don't mind, so we can all sit in a circle.
Perfect.
And I had arranged to provide refreshments so that you don't have to do that since you're providing the space.
Oh, no, no. I can take care of that. I've got somebody who does it for me.
Ah. Well, if perhaps then you could also make sure to have plenty of copies of Jane Austen around just in case someone forgets theirs.
Are you done?
Lily furrows her brow and looks at Trevor.
Well, then I'll see you then.
See you then.
Trevor smiles as he watches Lily walk out of the bookstore. At night, the city is illuminated with lights in tall buildings. Lily sits at her office desk and taps her pen on the blank pages of her notebook. Lily walks toward the broom closet.
Alicia? Oh, sweetheart, what's the matter? Never mind.
I have some personal problems.
Everyone can hear you, so let me get you out of here. Give it.
No.
Just give it. Okay. Yeah. Let's go, okay? Come on, honey.
A flashing neon sign outside the pub reads, cold beer to go.
Alicia, why were you crying in a broom closet?
Because the last time I cried in my office, someone saw me.
Someone besides me?
No. Anyway, why isn't Jane helping us with our presentation?
Oh, well, she doesn't approve of modern advertising.
Yeah, but we need to make a living.
I don't think that that is a top priority for a novelist who has been dead 206 years. Mm,
you mean 206.
Trust me, I've been corrected by the best.
Here we are, lady.
Oh. Thank you so much, Mr. Wharton.
How are things with the boyfriend?
Well, actually, we broke up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but she has a new admirer.
Please.
Well, it's all a bit too much for me. I'll go back to fly fishing.
Lily and Alicia clink their glasses.
I don't know. Your problems with Jane make mine seem puny in comparison.
No. No, I'm sure you have terrible problems. Wait, that didn't come out the way I intended. Sorry. Just tell me why you were weeping.
Because of my parents and because I'm getting old. They found a guy that they want me to marry, and he's coming here on Tuesday, and if I don't have dinner with him, they're never going to speak to me again, ever.
Sorry, can we go back to the part where you're getting old? Aren't you 27?
Yeah. I mean, where did that time go?
It must be such a burden for you.
What am I going to do? I mean, the dinner is on Tuesday night.
Do anything rather than marry without affection. P&B.
Alicia takes a sip of her drink and frowns. Outside Scribbler's bookstore, the Jane Society chalkboard sign reads, Wickham, Willoughby, and William Elliot, Austin's Dastardly Rakes.
Oh, hi.
This place is so amazing. Might just put me off audiobooks for good. Although, it might make it hard to drive at the same time.
I think it would.
I haven't been inside a bookstore for years. I do all my reading online.
Well, come on in, have a seat. Make yourself comfortable.
Oh, look, crumpets. So Jane.
You are too smug by half.
I didn't say a word.
All right, everyone. Time to start the meeting. Please sit.
I was outside of Barstow when Marianne learns of Willoughby's marriage to Sophia Gray. Takes to her bed, totally distraught. I understood. I was distraught, too. I had to pull over the shoulder until I could compose myself. Anyway, I couldn't stop listening. I owed all to Lily. She told me I'd love sense as much as I did P&P. She was absolutely right.
Lily has a distant stare.
Lily, do you want to move on to the next testimonial?
Sorry. Thanks, Barry. Oh, I'm so happy that you enjoyed the book.
Barry wears a trucker hat reading, I Heart Jane.
Is everything all right?
Yes, you seem upset, Lily.
I guess I just have something going on that is distracting me a little bit.
You should tell us what's troubling you.
It's not about Jane, unfortunately.
That doesn't matter. I mean, Jane's important, but she's not everything.
Yeah. Doesn't mean we can't discuss other topics.
Right. Well, it's about my friend, who's having some trouble with her parents. They want her to settle down, and she just doesn't feel ready.
That's terrible.
I don't agree that this has nothing to do with Jane.
You have to support her. Be there for her.
I want to be there for her. I should be there for her. I will be there for her. That's exactly right. Thank you. What a great meeting. Okay.
Well, I think that's enough for one evening. Our topic for next time is why the movie Clueless is such an underappreciated Austen adaptation. Please feel free to take the rest of the treats before you go. All right. Okay. Yeah, come on. No, I mean, I actually want to be here for you. So, like, actually at the restaurant, you tell me the name of the place, and I will show up there. And I'll sit at a place where you can see me, and then you give me a sign, and I'll intervene.
Yes, yes, you can tell him I'm a terrible workaholic. I mean, that will probably scare him off.
Yeah, that could work. I think Jane Austen would love this plan.
Really?
I don't know, but I can ask.
Yeah?
Lily walks to the shelves labeled A.
Jane, are you here?
Surely you've read all of her books by now more than once, I presume.
Of course I have. Never hurts to look. You never know when you might find a new edition or a biography that I haven't read before.
Right.
Trevor ducks behind a shelf.
Hey, are you sure it's healthy to be so obsessed with just one author? What about a little Chekhov? Perhaps man has more than 100 senses.
The Cherry Orchard is, of course, a work of great literature.
Maybe you're more Toni Morrison. Definitions belong to the definers, not the defined.
She's right. Thin love is no love at all.
If two people love each other, there can be no happy end.
I don't think Jane Austen would agree with Hemingway on that one.
Okay. You win. Tell me, why do you love Jane so much?
Well, the real question is, why do you hate Jane so much?
I never said that. I read Pride and Prejudice, and it's perfectly fine.
Fine?
Yeah.
Fine? It's brilliant.
I just found the plot a little tidy and the characters a little predictable. It's just me. I mean, it's not for me.
Ah. That fellow understands nothing of my writing. Who is he?
Where have you been anyway? We were in the middle of a conversation and then you just vanished.
Never mind that. You cannot let this man get away with saying my work is simple.
You leave him to me, but you just stay here.
Lily walks away from Jane.
So you think Sense and Sensibility is simplistic with its three intertwining plot lines?
Well, no.
Or maybe Pride and Prejudice is a little one-dimensional for you? I cannot fix on the hour or the spot or the look or the words which laid the foundation. It is too long ago. I was in the middle before I knew I had begun.
I haven't read that one in a while.
Not to mention, Northanger Abbey was celebrated as a brilliant dissection of Gothic novels in its time.
I didn't know that.
Well, I guess Emma said it best. It's difficult for the prosperous to be humble.
Trevor pauses, then nods.
Indeed.
Sorry. Sometimes I get a little carried away defending Jane.
No, that's totally fine. Reserving judgment is a matter of infinite hope.
Shakespeare.
No.
Trevor lifts books off a cart. Lily furrows her brow.
What are you doing here anyway? Acting like a clerk in the shop that you own.
I don't know. I just find that this is where my good ideas come from. There's just something about being around all of these books. I find it kind of uplifting and inspiring, like I can somehow absorb all of their knowledge.
Or maybe it's just because my mom was a librarian.
Your mom was a librarian?
Yeah.
C.S. Lewis.
No. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, no. I have to take this. F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Gatsby.
Trevor walks away from Lily.
Right.
Jane steps forward from behind a bookshelf.
I was brought up in my family to respect someone who could make a most excellent argument.
Why does he have to be so difficult about everything?
So you would not consider him as a suitor?
Absolutely not. He is the most insufferable man I've ever met in my entire life. Jane, what do you think of an ad?
Lily stands alone and looks around. At night, lights glow from Lily's windows. She sits at her bureau and pinches the bridge of her nose as she stares at her laptop screen showing design mock-ups reading a book a day. She leans forward and swipes to another screen of text and starts to type. Later, she smiles as she scrolls down a full page of text. Sunlight fills her living room. Lily sits between Brennan and Alicia with her head on her hand.
Presentation coming up. Are you ready, folks?
Oh, yeah.
I know I don't have to tell any of you how important this client is to this agency. This little bookstore account is our way not only to impress Trevor Fitzsimmons, but to make ourselves essential to the fave site. This is our chance to blow it all open. Okay.
We're toast.
Lily sighs. Brennan's smile fades. Lily picks up her folder and gets up from the boardroom table.
Do you have something?
Brennan looks at Alicia.
Don't look at me, she hasn't told me squat.
Brennan frowns. Lily walks down the hall, her hair is in a low ponytail draped over her right shoulder. She walks into her office and closes the door.
Whoa! What are you doing here?
How could I resist coming to see where you worked?
Did the receptionist see you? No, that's not how this works, right? I mean, she can't see you. Can she?
Lily looks toward the door and her eyes widen.
Hey.
Ah!
Hi!
Hi.
Sorry, am I interrupting?
No, of course not.
Oh. Yeah, just wanted to swing in by and say I'm looking forward to the meeting.
Yeah, I'm so glad.
Lily holds the door ajar.
Are you?
Am I what?
Looking forward to the presentation?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course, it just slipped my mind.
Trevor furrows his brow.
Slipped your mind?
No, I mean, when I say it slipped my mind, I don't mean it slipped my mind. You know, I just totally forgot about it.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'll let you go.
Bye.
I'm sure you must be so busy with billion-dollar acquisitions to pull off.
Not really. No, I'm kind of just concentrating on the bookstore, you know, developing the digital components.
Yeah, all those digits, the ones and zeros.
I don't know. I just think it can really connect people, you know, bring them together.
Except that they really don't ever have contact with each other.
Right.
I don't know. I guess that's why I bought the bookstore. Anyway, okay. I will go and, yeah, I don't want to interrupt.
Oh, right.
Bye.
Bye.
Lily's shoulders droop as she watches Trevor walk away. She peeks through the shrinking gap in her door as she slowly closes it.
That gentleman is as disagreeable as the first time we met him.
I thought the same thing, too, but this time there was...
Lily shrugs.
Something.
Consider him a suitor, if you must. There are better candidates, surely.
He's not my suitor.
On the off chance that you change your mind, I have but one question. Does he have any head
he
of...
He doesn't have a head of cattle. Okay. He's involved in the technology industry, so he definitely doesn't have any bovine interests.
It's your decision.
It isn't my decision. He's never even asked me out on a date. And anyway, he's a client. I can't get involved with clients.
As you wish.
Jane walks to the door.
What are you doing?
Taking promenade.
No, get back here! Wait, stop! No, you can't go with me! Hi, sorry, everybody. Just don't. Carry on. Everything you're doing, that looks amazing.
Sorry.
Lily rushes back to her office. At night, lights glow from city buildings. Lily sits in her office and types on her laptop. She starts chapter 5 of her manuscript.
Come in. Oh, hi, Brent.
Brennan.
Hi.
Is everything all right?
Yeah, nothing. Just I have something, and I think I have to say it. Something I think you should know about because it affects you deeply.
I don't think you should say it.
No, I have to say it.
Brennan, please don't. It'll just make things awkward.
I don't care. I'm in love with Alicia.
Oh.
I've been wanting to tell you for so long.
Well, it's definitely unexpected. Don't you think you should be telling Alicia?
No. I overheard her say her parents set her up with someone. I didn't want to complicate her life.
You wouldn't be complicating her life. I mean, she doesn't want to end up with some guy she doesn't even know.
I can't just tell her how I feel. What if she says she wants nothing to do with me?
She's not...
That would be a disaster. You have to help me. You have to make her fall in love with me.
What? It doesn't work that way.
Yes, that's the only answer, please. You have to help me, Lily.
How am I supposed to do that?
Make her see me in a new way. As someone who cares for her. Someone who's passionate, attractive, smart. Someone who'd make a great boyfriend.
Okay. You know what? Yeah, I have no idea how I'm going to do it, but I'm definitely going to help you out, okay?
Thank you.
Whoa. Okay. Yeah, you're welcome. Oh. Anytime.
Lily closes her office door and leans her back against it. Then she shakes her head.
Well, what do you think of this color? I'm not sure it's bright enough.
Yeah, brighter is better. If you look at the site, actually, it's very bright. That's right. Probably
that's
why
true.
People like
so
it
so that
so
one's
long.
Brighter.
Yeah, because look,
that one's way
this
brighter.
One
yeah,
totally works here. With the... Oh. It's okay.
Lily sneaks into Alicia's office. She places an envelope marked, from an admirer, on her keyboard. At the pub, Lily sits at a table across from Alicia. Alicia grins as Brennan sits down beside her. Lily grins as she watches Brennan and Alicia talk. At the office, Alicia picks up the envelope on her keyboard. A card reads, "The very first moment I beheld you, my heart was irrevocably gone." Alicia laughs. On another day at the pub, Alicia and Brennan chat excitedly. Lily smiles to herself as she walks away from their table. At home in her sunny living room, Lily works on her manuscript. She types, "The end."
This is amazing! Mr. Wickham, congratulations! What a party!
Yes, almost makes me regret selling. Almost. Here's your drink.
Thank you very much for everything.
Lily walks out of the pub and almost bumps into Trevor.
Ooh, oh! I'm so sorry. Hey. Hello.
Wow, you look...
What's that?
Yeah, so, someone told me I should reread this.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, she's crazy, though, because it's really just a book about people trying to be happy.
Trevor smiles at Lily, then he glances at the sky.
Beautiful out tonight. Want to go for a walk?
I would enjoy that.
Lily walks with Trevor.
Is it strange how we keep running into each other like this?
Not really? No. We both like old things, books, Mr. Wickham. Though I guess we're going to have to take up fly fishing if we want to see him again. I mean, we keep running into each other within the same few blocks, so I think what it actually proves is that we're just a little bit lazy.
Oh, I want to go to the gym. Maybe I should run to the gym. Wow.
This is beautiful.
Lily holds her bare arms.
You cold?
Oh, no. I mean,
yeah,
a little. Thank you.
Welcome.
Trevor drapes his jacket around Lily's shoulders.
Yeah, I love these little markets. One time... found this special edition volume in a market like this, I guess it was, but it was this old Wizard of Oz. It must have been like one of the first editions, you know, it had this little kid's writing in that owned it. It said Little David.
Oh, sweet. But I'm sure that was good for resale, right?
Yeah.
What?
It's just that if I find something I really love, I usually keep it for myself, which I guess doesn't make me very business-minded, does it?
I get it. Sometimes I find things that are Jane-related, and I think about how fun it'll be to share it with the group, but then I kind of want to keep it for myself for a few days first.
I guess that's the thing about being a reader, is you kind of get lost in the imaginary life. It helps you discover what you love about the real world. That was a bit much, yeah.
Not at all, I get it. It's funny when that happens.
When you finish the thoughts of what someone else was thinking?
Exactly.
Lily glances at Trevor.
So, do you do anything besides work?
I could ask you the same question.
I do lots of other things.
Yeah? Oh, right, of course. The Jane Society.
Other things besides Jane.
Oh, okay. Were you a 12-pin bowling champion? Skydiving aficionado?
Oh, sure.
You a Hialeah enthusiast?
In an antique market, Trevor strolls beside Lily.
I just finished my first novel.
Wow. Really? Congratulations.
Thanks, but hold the applause, because I'm not sure I'm going to do anything with it.
No, that's a huge accomplishment. Do you have a publisher?
No. I would have to take the risk of being rejected.
You know, that's the thing about risks. It's only a risk if it doesn't work out.
Lily and Trevor face each other and stare into each other's eyes. Lily blinks and breaks her gaze. She looks up at Trevor and grins.
I had a really nice time tonight. Well, I should probably get home. I have kind of a crazy week ahead.
Right. Oh, don't forget about that presentation.
Oh, no, of course not.
Trevor smiles playfully at Lily.
Oh.
I was just going to give it to you.
It's very gallant of you.
Trevor drapes his jacket on his arm and tucks his hands into the pockets of his pants. He watches Lily walk away, then he turns around and saunters back into the market. String lights hang overhead, casting a warm glow on the antiques below. On a new day, Lily sits at an outdoor restaurant.
Is it just you this evening?
No, I'm waiting for someone.
Lily wears black heart-shaped sunglasses and a headscarf.
Tell me again, what exactly is our ambition here?
Alicia wants to have someone here, just in case the guy that she's with is sort of a loser and she needs to escape.
Can she not simply do what women have done since time immemorial to escape an overtly ardent suitor?
What's that?
Faint, of course. Not that I would approve.
Oh. No, if she did that, they would have to call a doctor.
Oh, even better. Then she would have an excuse to retire home.
Alicia arrives with her date.
Oh, shh. Here they come.
From across the restaurant, Jane and Lily watch them.
Stop looking. I don't want them to see you. Well, neither of us should look.
Jane raises her eyebrows. Lily stares at Jane. They both slowly shift their gazes toward Alicia and her date.
Thank you.
Oh, he seems to be acquitting himself as a gentleman should, at the very least.
She's laughing.
Yes. Oh, she seems to be enjoying his company. Perhaps our purpose here is for naught.
I know.
Alicia tucks her hair behind her ear.
That's it. That's the signal.
Are you quite certain? I'm sure she's simply...
Right? Yeah. To welcome secrets. What did I say?
Alicia nods her head sideways. Lily looks confused, then she bumps into a server.
Oh! Oh! I'm so sorry.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh, heavens.
Sorry.
Lily dashes out of the restaurant. Outside, Jane is standing beside her.
Would you stop doing that?
Doing what exactly?
Transporting. Whatever it is that you do.
It seems as if they're well matched.
Yeah, well, I didn't realize that. I thought she was giving me the signal.
If one is going to intervene with matters of the heart, it must be with the most delicate of touch.
It is the theme of my novel.
Emma, I know.
Lily looks at Jane.
I didn't realize even famous authors like to say I told you so.
Lily puts her heart-shaped sunglasses back on, then walks away from Jane.
Where to now?
At night, lights glow from Lily's windows.
Oh dear. This device of yours has gone dark again. I hope I have not injured it.
Oh no, no worries.
Is this not remarkable? To see the characters of your imagination come to life. Mm-hmm.
On Lily's laptop, an actor playing Mr. Darcy looks like Trevor.
Oh my.
Oh my.
That is what I had in mind when I wrote Mr. Darcy.
Right.
Is there any way I could meet this thespian? I believe it is well within my rights as the published author, after all. What? Good heavens. Manners.
Oh, sorry. Oh, whatever.
Lily and Jane toss popcorn at each other. The sun rises, and Lily opens her eyes as she lies in bed. The soft morning light casts a glow on her face. She picks up her laptop and opens it. An email in her inbox reads, "Inquiring about publication rights for your novel." Lily furrows her brow.
Jane.
Lily raises her eyebrows as she lies on her back in bed.
Oh, Vishal. Well, he's actually seeing someone, but he told me he's just as appalled at our parents' behavior as I am. We're going to keep in touch, though, so that we can vent about our parents.
Are we ready? Indubitably. All right. Let's get in there.
Alicia and Lily have nervous expressions as they walk toward the boardroom.
I wish.
Oh, hey, Bren.
Alicia abruptly stops smiling.
What? We're just friends.
Lily smiles excitedly as she follows Alicia into the boardroom. Lily wears a navy dress with red polka dots and stands at the boardroom table. Alicia smiles encouragingly. Brennan, in an orange cardigan, grins at Lily.
The thing about a great bookstore, like Scribbler's, is that we don't have to explain what it is.
Lily plays a presentation on a screen.
When Mr. Fitzsimmons, Trevor, first brought us this account, I had the same thought I'm sure all of you had, that we're going to need a new approach. Fresh ideas to sell books to a 21st century public that's addicted to their phones and the only reading they do is refreshing their timeline. But then someone helped me see that there's a stronger choice than pretending something is new when everyone can see that it isn't. Trevor, I don't think you want to turn your bookstore into a digital hub or an optimized information processing center. Because Scribbler's is a time machine, and it takes us to the past or the future. It's also a spaceship that transports us to faraway places, both real and imagined, to distant shores, or help us see what's happening right around the corner. So Scribbler's doesn't need AI-generated slogans or glitzy logos, because it has the energy you feel when you walk into the store. The weight of a hardcover in your hand, the crack of the spine, and the smell of new paper when you thumb through it for the very first time. And an app can't do that. The algorithm doesn't stand next to you when you're standing in front of a book display and tell you that they cried when they got to the end of that story you're about to buy. Scribbler's. It's where your next adventure awaits. Come explore.
Alicia claps softly. Ellen gives a satisfied smile and nods.
Thank you.
Trevor smiles at Lily.
I have to ask. You won the Colberry 7 years ago, but nothing in the interim. Why not?
I guess I got busy, and maybe I lost a little confidence.
What brought you back to writing?
My friend. She read my manuscript and she wouldn't let me drop it.
Well, I've tried to lay out why I'm convinced we're the right house for you, especially with the recent acquisition.
Acquisition?
Didn't you know? We've been acquired by that Faves website everyone loves so much. It'll give us all kinds of resources we didn't have before, particularly on the promotional side.
Lily nods and raises her eyebrows.
I didn't know.
Later, she walks briskly to Scribbler's bookstore.
This is great. I love the presentation of this, but I'm going to also need to keep at least these books for here because I want to set them up.
Trevor?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey, how are you? I haven't seen you since that presentation, which I have to tell you was so good. You should have seen her. She just presented.
Did you buy Pegasus Press?
I did.
Did you know that they were making an offer on my book?
They did disclose that to me, yes.
Did you do it because we've been...
talking? Spending time together?
A bookstore clerk eavesdrops.
Flirting?
Yes.
No, I did not. I mean, maybe I did.
Well, thank you, but I can't accept that. I need for my work to be recognized on its own merit, not because you're doing me a favor.
I didn't do it just to do you a favor. They would not have signed you if your writing didn't have merit, and I could not pass up this business opportunity. I mean, being able to take on a publishing house allows me to track the ancillary markets is a lot better.
Trevor, stop. Please stop. You think so fast. 1 second, you're 10 moves ahead of everyone else. You're definitely 100 moves ahead of me. The next minute, you're what? You're here. You're living this fantasy life where you expect people to treat you like you're some sort of perfectly ordinary bookstore clerk. Who are you? I have to get back to the office.
Lily walks out of the store.
Don't worry. I have no problem treating you as perfectly ordinary.
The clerk walks away from Trevor. The chalkboard reads, "Are you a Lizzie, Emma, or Marianne?"
And thanks to you, I told my parents that I'm taking my dating life back into my own hands. Thank you very much. I'm not going to give in to their pressure, no matter how over the hill I get.
Good for you.
And you know what? It's worked. I mean, I haven't heard a word from them since.
Well, that's good news.
Hey, Lil, you're okay that Brennan's into me. I mean, I know that you had your eyes set on him.
I think he was looking at you the entire time.
You know, it's always sisters before misters with me. You know that, right, Lil?
It means so much to me that you think of me that way.
Well, I don't think you'd be as happy once you realize how much I fight with my sisters.
I look forward to that, too. Let's start the meeting.
Okay.
Lily joins the group.
All right, everyone. Welcome back.
So, which one is the good one, I guess, is my question. It's so confusing.
Lily!
You drifted away again, my dear.
Oh, I...
Clara was just saying that she was confused by the difference between sense and sensibility and was wondering whether you could help explain.
Yes, of course. I think...
Lily pauses and furrows her brow. Alicia turns to Lily with a worried expression. Barry watches Lily.
I think we can't only look to novels for life lessons. I think the novelists... trying to tell us that we have to figure it out on our own.
Lily puts down her teacup.
Since I have the floor, I have an announcement to make. I've decided to take a leave of absence from president of the Jane Society.
Alejandro's jaw drops.
What are we going to do without you? You are the society.
Are you certain that you're not suffering from some type of very obscure ailment? And because of this, you're giving up everything you love and cherish.
I wondered that myself for a while, but no, I'm okay. I'm fine. I've just made a decision. I'm taking that trip. I'm going to England. I'm gonna see Jane's home.
Oh, I'm so happy for you, Lily.
Imagine being able to see the place where Jane actually wrote her sentences.
Muriel smiles at Lily.
Yeah, I for one don't buy it.
You don't buy what?
Well, it's just that you've been different the last few days. I mean, you're more confident, happier. I personally think it's something else. I think she has a new fellow in her life.
No, no, nothing like that. Not at all. Let's get back to tonight's topic, shall we? Are you a Lizzie? An Emma or a Marianne?
Yeah, I don't think we're interested in tonight's topic, Lily.
So, there's no new guy?
Maybe I can answer that one.
Trevor approaches the group.
You're answering whether Lily has a new boyfriend?
Yes.
Lily wrinkles her brow and looks at Trevor.
I would like to apply for the job.
The group look at Lily, who is staring at Trevor.
Well, that's just not possible.
The group turn their attention to Trevor.
Well, I don't accept that.
It's not your decision to make.
No. It's not, but I think I deserve a second chance. And after all, isn't that the lesson of persuasion?
Alicia smiles smugly at Lily.
Yeah, I read it.
Lily narrows her eyes.
I've read all the novels.
That is what it's about. I know, because it's up next for my trip to Shreveport, and I read the synopsis.
Didn't Jane write that because she regretted her own choice in turning down her suitor, Mr. Bridges?
We don't know that for sure. She might not have regretted it at all.
Look, you're right. I do tend to charge forward to the result that I want without considering the feelings of the people around me. But I can learn and change. Although it would help a lot to have you in my life to remind me.
Trevor places his hand over his heart.
And then I examined my own heart, and there you were. Never I feared to be removed.
Jane.
Yes.
Alejandro struggles to speak.
I think.
Yes, Alejandro?
I think. You, Lily, you should give him a chance.
Lily is tearful as she smiles at the group, then at Trevor. She shoves her book onto Alicia and stands up.
I've been meaning to do this for a long time.
Lily steps closer to Trevor.
I've been ready for a long time.
Trevor rests his right hand on Lily's cheek. Lily parts her lips, and Trevor kisses her. Lily rests her hand on Trevor's shoulder. Trevor cups Lily's face in his hands.
This is just like the ending of Emma, where Mr. Knightley rushes off to win over Emma.
Lily cries as Trevor strokes her cheek.
By the way, I changed the store policy.
What?
Buying in person will always trump online purchases.
I think that's a great policy.
Yeah.
Lily wraps her arms around Trevor as they kiss. Outside her house, Lily steps out of a yellow taxi wearing the same taupe floral dress as the night before. She carries her shoes as she walks up the drive, then she walks into her house. Sunlight floods her living room.
Jane? Jane? Jane, are you here?
Lily walks through the room and picks up a leather-bound book from a side table next to her love seat. She strokes the book cover and glances around the room. Lily rushes to her dining room window and pulls back a white lace curtain. She looks outside at Jane, who is wearing a blush pink bonnet and sitting on a park bench. Jane closes her eyes and tilts her face toward the sun. Later, Lily walks through the park toward Jane and sits next to her on the bench.
We don't have sunshine like this back home, I must say. It's the lucky gentleman, Trevor.
Yes. How did you know?
It was quite evident, my dear. You just needed time to arrive at that conclusion yourself. Just as Lizzie did.
Right. Well, we stayed up all night talking about writing, and you were right. Inspiration struck. I have an idea for my next novel.
What is it?
Well, I thought I could tell the story of Pride, but from Mr. Darcy's point of view.
That is a clever idea. Well done.
Thank you.
Lily looks around the park.
Aw, look at what that little girl's reading.
A young girl with glasses and braids sits on a bench, reading Sense and Sensibility. She waves at Jane, and Jane waves back.
She can see you, as can you, my dear.
Do you know how hard I tried to summon you? I said your name 3 times. I fell asleep reading your books. I tried a lot of crazy things, but it's just simple, isn't it? You come when inspiration is needed. Every time I saw you, I was lost. And then you appeared, and I figured out what I needed. That's it, isn't it?
Yet you found inspiration for your next work all on your own.
Does that mean I'm not gonna see you again?
Oh, I'll still be here with you. And you still have my novels, after all.
Yes. I will always have your novels.
Jane smiles warmly at Lily.
I did want to get home because I had some ideas that I wanted to jot down, and Trevor said he would come by in a little bit.
Then we mustn't dawdle.
Jane and Lily walk arm in arm as they leave the park. As they approach Lily's house, they see Trevor sitting on the porch.
You go on ahead.
Don't you want to meet him? Oh, I guess that's not possible.
Jane nods at Lily.
Thank you for everything.
Lily and Jane hug.
Thank you for loving my writing.
Jane nods, then she walks away. Lily is tearful as she smiles and watches Jane walk toward the park. Jane fades and disappears. Lily turns toward her house where Trevor is still sitting on the porch. Trevor is writing in a book as Lily walks toward him.
Hello.
Hey, sorry to pop by so early, but I came across this investment opportunity and I want to run it past you. Eco-friendly livestocking. Now the idea of—
Wait a second. Are you thinking about buying a herd of cattle?
Sort of. So eco-friendly livestocking actually has exponential growth. Why are you laughing?
No reason. It just means you're clearly the man I was meant to be with.
Trevor steps toward Lily and touches her cheek.
I think Jane has a perfect quote for a moment like this.
Of course she does.
Lily pauses and looks up at Trevor, then she furrows her brow.
But I want to say it in my own words.
What?
That you, this, us, is better than a novel. It's real, exciting and romantic. Complicated and fun. It's better than anything I ever imagined.
I think this is that moment where they kiss and then live happily ever after.
Oh, I think you're right.
Lily and Trevor kiss with their arms wrapped around each other. They stand on Lily's porch, framed by 2 columns, as sunlight shines down on the house. End credits. Lily Thorpe, Allison Sweeney. Trevor Fitzsimmons, Benjamin Ayers. Jane, Kendra Anderson. Alicia, Adila Dosani. Brennan Bevan, William C. Vaughn. Ellen Train, Deb Podowski. Mr. Whitcomb, John Prowse. Alejandro, Eduardo Brito. Clara, Catherine Matlashevsky. Other credits follow. Copyright 2023, Love Jane Productions Inc., all rights reserved. Logo, Lighthouse Pictures.